The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. I invite you to be seated. So last week's gospel reading and sermon were for church outsiders, those who aren't really that connected to the church. And this week's gospel reading is for church insiders, those who literally have in their pockets the keys to this little building kingdom that we have here at 318 Chester Avenue, or Christian insiders, that is, people who are very familiar with the Christian faith, who know how to turn to the book of Romans this week in under 5 seconds. Today's gospel is about church itself, what makes it successful and faithful. Don't you want to give a little cheer to Peter when he gets the answer right? It doesn't often happen. "You're the Messiah, Son of the living God. Go, Peter, woohoo!" Peter, Petros in Greek, is a word play on Petra, rock. And so by this confession, Petros becomes the Petra of the church and is given a lot of authority. Bind and loose were technical terms used in matter of ethics and sin in that day. Awful lot of power for one person to handle, eh? But this is Peter, who's just gotten the answer right, and we're rooting for him. Next week, though, we'll hear that in the next moment, he flubs terribly. The rock becomes, in Jesus' words, a stumbling stone. But that's next week. Today, it's all about confessions of faith. During worship, when Christians gather together, we publicly confess our faith through the liturgy by saying such things as, "Praise to you, O Christ, glory to you, O Lord," around the gospel reading, by claiming the Apostles' Creed, or even by making the sign of the cross on ourselves, if that's our tradition. I bet that there are times at home or with friends or at work that you speak about your faith probably without even realizing it. And I suspect that there have been times when you've intentionally said something about your faith to a friend or even an acquaintance who appeared to need it. And when we do that, we could stop for a minute and hear an echo of Jesus' blessing upon us. "Blessed are you, May, Dave, Lisa, child of God." But before we pat ourselves on the back too hard for being so courageous and faithful, before I tell you to do more of those things, we can't miss what Jesus says next. "For flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven has." And that's why you won't hear me preach from this pulpit many times telling you or any time, how to be a better disciple, or that you need to start taking risks and talking about your faith with people. When we think about faith in that way, we usually end up patting ourselves on the back or feeling like failures, thinking that evangelism is really up to us, that we're in control, that we need to do it, that we need to try harder. Lately, there are a lot of mainline churches blaming their decline in attendance on the lack of evangelism. If we just talk about Jesus to more people, you know, we would stem the losses. Sadly, this doesn't include the memory that there was a blip of an increase in church attendance, especially in the 1950s in last century. It was a bubble in our nation's history. Everybody hasn't always gone to church, and it's just one of those times and eras. Disciplining ourselves to talk about our faith with more people won't magically restore the church. I'm not suggesting what Jesus suggested, don't say anything to anyone about this. That was timing. It wasn't his time yet. But I think we need to think about this, about who's really in charge of the church. We can have a role in it, but we're not in charge or in control. And it doesn't make us better disciples either. Jesus clues us in. Peter's right answer didn't come from him at all. It came from God. Not from flesh and blood, but from my Father in heaven. We can trust that God will give us the desire, the words, when we encounter people who have need to hear about a merciful God. A beggar telling another beggar where to get food. That's evangelism. That also means that we can trust God with any embarrassment we might feel, church insiders, and I'll say our self-centered need not to appear too religious. It's not cool to be Christian in our era of religious diversity, especially as many outsiders lump all Christians together, painting us all with the brush of evangelicalism or televangelism. Similarly, on the surface, it appears that the success or the failure of the church is squarely on Peter's shoulders. And sometimes we end up talking about church in that way. Oh, you know, the new pastor is great. He's rebuilt that church from the ground up. Pat, 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 pat. Now, I should say that pastors can do a lot to run a church into a ground pretty easily. Pretty easy to do, unfortunately. All pastors are sinful like anybody else, like Peter, who will hear, the first apostle will hear in the next week that he didn't get it right. He kind of tried to run it into the ground even before the church got started. In the end, the one who is behind the power of any church growth, which is such a complex thing, but the one who's behind any church growth is the one who not only has the keys to the kingdom, but the key mold too, Christ. No matter how people might try to run things into the ground, no matter how many stumbling stones we may put up, somehow, some way, for the past 2,000 years, Christ has worked through the gospel. When we put ourselves in the way of the word and the table and baptism, when the Holy Spirit comes to us through these things and gives us faith, somehow Christ has done that for 2,000 years to loose and to bind and to bring people to belief. He even uses us, our little confessions of faith that we don't even notice sometimes, and uses us to draw all people to the gospel and to give life. So, church insiders, we really are Peter in this week and next week's gospel reading. Getting it right by the power of the Holy Spirit, getting it wrong, and getting forgiven. In the end, the real rock, the foundational rock underneath Peter, the rock, is Christ. No matter what happens in the institutional, visible church, wonderful or depressing, our hope is not about our efforts at evangelism or lack thereof. It's not about a great pastor or lack thereof. Our hope remains on Christ as the foundation, the rock, the one from whom it all flows, and nothing less. Amen.